All right, here we go. You are now listening to the first episode, episode one of the I Know What I'm Talking About podcast. My name is Philip. And today, for the first episode, and also thank you for everybody that's listening, that's paying attention. Thank you all for, you know, taking time out of your Sunday or whenever to listen to this. I most definitely appreciate it. You know, I most definitely appreciate people who listen and pay attention. All the, any type of criticism, you know, good and bad feedback, that will most definitely be greatly appreciated. But to not keep y'all waiting anymore, so what I'm going to be talking about today is mostly about the NBA Finals, specifically about games 5 and 6. So I'm gonna start off with game 6. So the Warriors bench outscored the Celtics bench 15-2, and the score was 51-33 with about 2:39 left to go in the second quarter. And I mean,
some might say that the game was maybe at that point blown open. It was an 18-point game, so some people might say that it was blown open, some might not. But yeah, it was 51-33, and Udoka called a timeout. The Celtics head coach, he called a timeout. And you know, so basically you can say right here that the Celtics bench was non-existent. 15-2. They got outscored 15-2, the Celtics bench. Peyton Pritchard, I think game 6, I think he only played like 7 or 6 minutes. So obviously he wasn't showing Udoka enough, you know, he wasn't showing him enough to keep him on the floor for 15 minutes, like what he usually gets pretty much every game. Grant Williams pretty much was still getting his regular minutes, you know, playing 12 to 15 minutes. Well, you know, not 12 to 15, about 15 to 17 minutes a game, depending on how good he's playing and how much he's producing. He was still playing his minutes because, you know, he's got the bigger body, and, you know, so he's, you know, he's also used mostly for defense and, you know, rebounding. But those are the Celtics, you know, one of their top two players coming off the bench besides Derek White. But the guy, I mean, that most people would say would be the X factor for the Celtics, maybe, who is Al Horford. Al Horford, who has no type of championship experience, but I think, yeah, he's been in the Eastern Conference Finals 3 times. I know he got there twice with the Atlanta Hawks, I think in 2015 and 16, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, and this would have been the third time, you know, when they won against the Heat. But he does not have, of course, you know, he doesn't have any finals experience. But game one, I mean, he came out to play for real. Horford came out to play. He had 26 points. I believe he had about 8 rebounds, and he was 6 for 8 from the 3-point line. So he showed up, most definitely. He showed up. But after game one, he disappeared. And that's most definitely someone that they need to show up. That they needed to show up. At least games 5 and 6. At least. So in the second quarter, which was the worst quarter in game 6 for the Celtics, they had 8 turnovers. I mean, I had seen Derek White. I think it was a 2-on-1 fast break, and he was kind of trying to do like a Euro, and he was going to try and,
you know, lay the ball up with his left hand, and the ball just flew out of his hands. And I was looking at that, and I rewinded it. I was like, I thought it was a foul. I thought, you know, there was some contact, and that was why he lost the ball. But when I saw the replay on that, and I rewinded it for myself, I was like, this fool just lost the damn ball. Then maybe a possession, the next possession, or a couple of more possessions after that, Jason Tatum, bless his heart, he tried so hard to be a playmaker. But he is just, that's not just him as a basketball player. He's just strictly a scorer. And a guy that starts the offense for the Celtics. The first guy. Rather than, well, maybe, I should say the second guy. Because probably Smart's the first guy to start the offense. But Tatum would be the second guy. But he was, you know, he's trying to be a playmaker, but when he tries, he turns the ball over. He drove, I remember specifically, he drove baseline. He was driving baseline, going left. And he tried to do this little dump-off pass under the basket to Al Horford. And Steph Curry and Draymond were standing right there in front of Horford. That was an easy steal. And I was like, what is he doing? So, I mean, once again, inexperience comes into play. Because the Celtics are a fairly young team. I think the oldest guy is Al Horford by a mile. Al Horford is the oldest dude on the roster by a mile. And he don't even have no championship experience either. So, I would just say this is just, you know, it was just all a learning experience for him. But now we're going to get to this matchup that I, you know, want to get to. So Andrew Wiggins guarded Jason Tatum 54.1% of the time on defense during game 6. So are we going to sit here and say that Wiggins locked him up? Or are we going to just say Tatum just was just having a bad series, bad game? Because from what it looked like to me, he was still getting to his spots. He was getting to his spots. He was basically still doing what he wanted to do. He was getting to the basket, but he was just not finishing. And I specifically remember an instant replay where Mark Jackson was talking about Tatum, and he was comparing him to when they got to the 2018 conference finals and they played the Cavaliers, when this was LeBron's last year with Cleveland. And he was talking about how Tatum isn't launching, you know, he's not going up hard enough. He showed when Jason Tatum kind of, you know, he's driving to the basket and he's jumping off 2 feet. He was jumping off two almost every time he went to the basket. And in this series, he was showing he's jumping off 1 foot and he's not getting no elevation. And, you know, so he's just kind of just, that's why it kind of just looks effortless when he goes up for a layup and he's just smoking the layup. But I wouldn't say that Wiggins was locking him up, to be honest with you. If you were really watching that game, he was getting to his spots. Any shot that he was missing, he was making it in the conference finals against Miami. He was making it for damn sure against Milwaukee. Those easy free throw line jumpers, those turnaround free throw line jumpers, he was making all that. But I don't know if he just got, you know, he was just, anxiety was catching up to him. I don't know what was going on with him, but I mean, maybe that's just what needed to happen to him. He just needed to go through this type of stage to get all these, you know, I don't want to sound like corny and shit, but jitters and shit like that to get it out of him.
because it kind of didn't look right. You know, I wanted Udoka to play Peyton Pritchard more, so maybe he can at least let him get into his flow. Maybe start feeling himself. Because I felt like Pritchard, he needed to, you know, get some more shots up to feel, you know, start feeling himself. Nah, he's like, he lost trust in him. After two or three shots, he sat his ass down, and that was it. There were multiple games during this series where he took two or three shots within 7 or 8 minutes, and he's done for the night. So that's when, you know, that's where I think that, you know, maybe I felt he could help. He could have helped out more if, you know, if he would have played Pritchard more, you know, let him try and, you know, catch his flow a little bit more. But in games 5 and 6, looking through all my notes right here, in games 5 and 6, the Warriors bench outscored the Celtics bench 52-15 in games 5 and 6 combined. 52-15. So this goes back to my point earlier. The Celtics bench was non-existent. They were. Because they've been great. They were great ever since, you know, January all the way through the postseason up into the finals. They were producing. Pritchard most definitely was producing. Especially in that second round series against the Bucks. He was producing most definitely. Him and especially Grant Williams. Same thing goes in the conference finals against Miami. Which Miami just, you know, Miami, I feel, just didn't have enough. But then now we're going to go to something that stood out to me about Mark Jackson. Something that Mark Jackson had said. Mark Jackson said, in a game 6 or 7 elimination game, you should not be leaning on your bench. You should solely be leaning on your star players, which who for the Celtics are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But this goes back to inexperience. Now, Jaylen Brown, he had 34-7-3. He basically had, you know, Steph Curry had 34-7-3, 7 rebounds and 3 assists. So you could say they had good games, but it's just they were missing shots that they usually don't miss. And I feel it had to do with nerves and all types of different stuff because they're playing on the biggest stage of their career. Al Horford being the oldest guy on the team, and they had no other guy on that team that have been to the NBA Finals. I think maybe Marcus Smart is the second oldest guy. Because he was, yeah, Marcus Smart's second oldest guy. So the Warriors are the first team to win 4 titles in 8 years since the Bulls did it in the 90s. The Bulls won 6 in 8 years. So the Warriors are the second team to win multiple championships in that amount, you know, of years, in 8 years. So this is on y'all. This is a discussion for y'all. Basically, if you want to talk about trios, the best trio ever, if you want to talk about if the Warriors, if Draymond, Klay, and Steph, just them three, if you would take them over Jordan, Rodman, and Pippen, or if you would take them over Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, which Green, Curry, and Thompson have more wins than Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili. I believe it's more playoff wins. or finals wins. I'm sorry. I got to go back and look at that. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's playoff wins. So once again, that's an argument for y'all to discuss. To me, honestly, I can't tell you. I really can't tell you, to be honest with you. That's real life. That's a hard decision for me. I couldn't tell you. If somebody said take one, I would take my sweet ass time. I would not know. I would not know. Because if you look at all three of those teams, Tim Duncan is going to be a very, very hard matchup for the Warriors and the Bulls. Even though you got Draymond, you got Rodman, but still it's Tim Duncan. Back-to-back league MVP. Should have six rings, but he has five. That's another argument, another conversation for another day. But I mean, he would be a very big assignment for Rodman and Draymond. But on the game five, real quick, Warriors had six turnovers. Boston had 18 turnovers in game five. Steph was 0 for 9 from the three-point line. The door is open just right there. The door is open for the Celtics to win. Just saying that right there. The door is open. Andrew Wiggins was 0 for 6 from 3, but he still had 26 points and 13 boards. And he was just coming off of 18 and 15, 18 points and 15 rebounds in game 4. So he was most definitely feeling himself. Most definitely. Steph Curry was 0 for 9 from three-point line. I don't think he's ever had a finals game where he didn't make a three-pointer. I don't believe I've seen, ever since the 2015 finals, I have not seen him go one game in the NBA finals without making a three. And the Celtics still lost that game. So the only thing you can point out to why they lost is because of inexperience and turnovers. Those are like blatantly obvious. Celtics made Andrew Wiggins beat them, and he did in game five. So once again, going back to what I said, turnovers and Wiggins was the difference for game five. Derek White guarded Steph Curry 43% of the time in game five. More than anybody, more than Marcus Smart did in game five. And they still lost. Al Horford guarded Wiggins 31% of the time. Al Horford guarded Wiggins 31% of the time. Tatum guarded him 29% of the time. So, yeah. The biggest difference in this series was Andrew Wiggins, the Celtics' inexperience in the finals and turnovers. So we're going to see the Celtics back in the finals, most definitely, I feel. They just got to bond and mesh more together as a team, and they'll be fine. They most definitely will be fine. So that's a wrap for episode one. Thank you all for listening. Episode 2, this is going to be a weekly thing. I'm going to try my hardest to make it a weekly thing every Sunday night. Tune in. I'm going to make y'all's time worthwhile listening to this, most definitely. So help spread the word for me, please. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and I'll see y'all next Sunday.